and welcome to our Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today from Devereaux Advanced Behavioral Health, we have Dr. Yolanda Graham. She is the Vice President and Chief Medical Officer there. And I'm not even going to go into your creds because it is amazing. She is board certified in general psychiatry, child and adolescent psychiatry. She's an expert in mental health, child advocacy, psychotropic medication management, behavioral management, childhood sexual exploitation and trauma. It goes on. Welcome.
Thank you, Laura. It's a pleasure to be here.
So it's wonderful to have you here. I've been trying to get Devereaux in. And for anyone who's not familiar with this organization, with this nonprofit, could you give us the elevator speech? What is Devereaux?
Sure. So Devereaux Advanced Behavioral Health is one of the nation's largest behavioral health organizations with a footprint in 13 states with 15 programs in those 13 states. Devereaux started here in Pennsylvania by Helena Devereaux in 1912. She was an educator in South Philadelphia who saw a need to treat kids who had severe emotional and behavioral disorders. So Devereaux really started as an educational program and has continued to expand in providing educational services, both in day programs and day schools, as well as educating those who are providing school services for our kids in the community. We've also expanded to include acute care hospitals, residential treatment facilities for children and adolescents who have severe emotional and behavioral disorders, and adults with autism and intellectual and developmental disabilities. So Devereaux covers the entire spectrum of treatment across the age span from birth through end of life, and from community-based services to intensive residential services.
Wow.
Right.
You came here from a Georgia facility.
I relocated. I was the medical director at our Georgia facility for 8 years, and recently, within the past month, became a local Philadelphia resident as I assumed my new position as Chief Medical Officer and Chief Clinical Officer at Devereaux, which is really exciting because it will allow me the opportunity to do what I love, which is overseeing the implementation of evidence-based programs. Devereaux really focuses on making sure that the quality of care we provide to residents in our care is of the highest quality, is evidence-based, and supported in the research and literature.
When we talk about behavioral health,
right,
and I know that you work with mental health, trauma, most people don't know what is the definition of trauma today, and brain health. When we're talking about it more, yet we're not talking with any kind of knowledge or education behind it.
Right. So let me start. The basis of care at Devereaux is trauma-informed care. And what that means is that we know that every client in our care has likely been exposed to some form of trauma. Most people think of trauma as physical abuse, sexual abuse, emotional abuse. But we know that experiencing microaggressions in today's society is a form of trauma. We know that being disenfranchised because of the stigma of having a mental health problem is a form of trauma. We know that kids who are bullied in school, who have difficulty fitting in, can be traumatic. And so we define trauma broadly, knowing that unless we look for those issues, we're unlikely to see them. And that really ties into one of the areas of expertise for me personally and for Devereaux as an organization, is really working with kids who have been commercially sexually exploited. Those kids have experienced a significant and very specialized form of trauma that has gone unrecognized in our country that we're learning now is a huge issue that requires specialized intervention.
Before we began, you were telling me some of the numbers, and we are going to get into that some more. But let's talk programming,
right,
and let's talk some more about Devereaux itself right here and trauma. Homelessness, it can be economic problems and issues, parental distress, if their parents are having issues, et cetera. So many things count up, and it's almost like a three strikes and you're out. The more childhood trauma you see, the less well you're going to do ultimately in your life.
So let me help you understand that, Laura. So one of the things we know in psychiatry is that trauma impacts brain development. The younger you are when you first experience a trauma, the more likely it is to impact the way your brain develops. And I'll try to put this simply, but every form of stress increases a neurochemical in our brain called cortisol. Well, that neurochemical is a stress hormone. which causes brain damage. So if you can imagine, the more trauma you have, the higher that level of hormone, the more traumatic it will be in terms of brain development. We know that a person's brain continues to develop now up until age 25. So the more we damage that system during that those early years, the harder it is to really treat that and reverse that later in life. Now, there are evidence-based treatments. And when I talk about evidence-based treatments, talking about treatment modalities that are informed by research that look at how do we change a developing brain at different stages of development. So, for instance, one of the therapies that we support through all of our programs at DEVRO is called trauma-focused cognitive behavioral therapy. Because even as a psychiatrist, I recognize that medications aren't the end-all and cure-all for all kids or adults. We need therapies that really teach people how to re-experience some of the things that their brains are experiencing in a healthier way. So we know that the more we teach that in therapy, the more long-lasting those effects are. So we deal with trauma throughout our programs by training our staff members in how you talk to a person. It's really important for someone who's been traumatized. Often people are very sensitive to loud noises, to people being in close proximity to them, to touch. And so training all of our staff and all of our foster parents and how do you really meet the needs of these kids who react in a way that's very different than someone who has not been traumatized.
We know that these kids will do less well in school. They're going to have less income over the course of their lives, et cetera. So obviously getting that interference there early is really important. But some of the things you just described are the twitchiness of a normal person. How does somebody know with a child, or how does an educator, you spoke about talking to your peers out there, how does someone know when it becomes an issue that you should reach out for some help?
Yeah, I think like a lot of the symptoms, it's interesting that you make that point, because as a psychiatrist, what I see is that a lot of kids who have been traumatized may get misdiagnosed as having ADHD within the educational system because they have those symptoms that they're jumpy, they don't focus, they don't pay attention. But really, when we start to look underneath that medically, they're responding to something that other people may not be aware of. But in terms of intervention, we always use a general rule of thumb that if whatever problems or symptoms you're having are impacting your ability to function, then that's the time to seek care. So we're talking about kids who are getting suspended from school, who for behavioral issues, kids who are failing to achieve academically, kids who are not doing well in their home or in a foster home and having repeated placements, then those are kids where it's really important that someone stops to think that something may be going on underneath that we really haven't delved into deep enough.
Is there ever a screening of kids? If you don't know that, this do we routinely screen kids like we do for their eyesight and a hearing test at certain age?
That's a great question. And DEVRO has, we have screening property that we have developed, including the DEVRO Educational Assessment for Children and an Educational Assessment for Secondary Schools, which are really screening tools to look at how are kids developing within an early education setting and within the school setting up through high school to determine those kids who may need more intensive resources than others. Unfortunately, we don't have routine screenings for mental health like we do for vision and for eyesight, but I think that would be really important in terms of being able to intervene early. We do for kids who are coming into the child welfare system or into the juvenile justice system. We may have routine screenings there. But for children who are living at home in their communities who are still struggling, we don't do a great job at assessing.
In great urban areas like, you know, the Delaware Valley, where we have a large number of children living in poverty, we have a large number of children living within violent neighborhoods, et cetera. Do you have numbers you want to throw out?
Well, we know that kids who have mental health problems are more likely to suffer from suicide or have suicidal ideations. We know that they're more likely to have early high school dropout and not complete their education. And And there was a great study done called the Adverse Childhood Experiences Scale that really looked at the compilation of traumas over time and how it impacts someone's earning potential, as well as impacts their medical morbidity. We know that these kids also end up having shorter lifespans. They end up having more medical comorbidities, such as heart attack and stroke and diabetes, as a result of their multiple exposures to trauma associated with lower socioeconomic status and environmental exposure, as well as genetic exposure. We can't overlook that risk factor as well.
And of course, these are kids that are going to be more likely to get into other kinds of trouble or find solace in behavior that's not going to help them. Drugs, et cetera, unprotected sex, you name it.
Right. Which is why I feel so strongly about our mission at Devereaux, because we truly believe that if we can intervene early enough, we can change the trajectory for these kids. And not only intervening in a hospital or residential setting, but also we do a lot of work in educating schools and educators on how to look for children who may be symptomatic, on how to work with kids who are demonstrating problem behaviors, and how to set up programs for resiliency to really help these kids to be successful in life so that we can avoid some of those other comorbidities later in life.
Resiliency, you just touched on that, and I know that's a major program or what's the word I'm
department.
Going for?
We have a Center for Resiliency at Devereaux, yes.
I should know that. And this is one of the things that's the actual hopeful message, that there is a possibility of being proactive.
Correct. Yes. We think that even a lot of times we can't change a child's circumstances in life, but we can change how they react to them. We can empower them by working on self-esteem, by finding their strengths. And all of our treatment programs at Devereaux are strength-based. So the basis of what we do is we look for that strength that lies within every child. And then how do we put in positive behavioral supports to help that child be able to achieve, because we think that all children have potential, and that's our mission, unlocking human potential. How do we find that potential within each child so that we can develop an individualized approach to really support them being successful? Because not all kids respond to the same interventions, and so it really requires an individualized approach.
And when you talk about this individual approach, so what are some of the treatments that are offered at Devereaux or, you know, in like facilities, et cetera? What can somebody expect for a treatment plan, again, individualized, when you do seek that advanced care and help?
Right. So what they can expect is a strength-based assessment, because all of our assessments are based on looking for what are the strengths within this individual child or individual adult. And then they can expect that a plan will be developed based on enhancing those strengths. So rather than focusing on the problem, we focus on the strength that will be required to overcome that problem. And we use positive behavioral support. So you'll see the foundation of all of our treatment programs is positively reinforcing those behaviors that are pro-social and that we want to see, rather than negatively reinforcing the problem behaviors. So often you see kids who get in trouble over and over, and all they hear is what they've done wrong. What we want to catch them is doing well so that we can enhance that. And so it really is a behavioral approach to enhance what we see that they're doing well. We also do functional behavioral assessments, which is really understanding the function of the behavior. Because a person is aggressive or they use profanity, it can mean something very differently for each child. So what we do is assess what function is this behavior serving for this child so that we can replace it with a more positive behavior to help them get their needs met.
Is this something where you're trying to send them out to face the rest of their life with like a wheelhouse of ability to cope or adjust to their own quirks?
Correct. Functional communication is important. So how we use language, how language helps to support us. Even within our world of treating adults and children with intellectual and developmental disabilities and autism, we find that the more we can focus on functional language to help them be successful, the better chance they have of really achieving their goals in life.
You are listening to Our Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today we are talking to Dr. Yolanda Graham. She is the Senior Vice President and Chief Medical Officer at Devereaux Advanced Behavioral Health, and you can find them very easily. They are everywhere in our listening area at devereaux.org. That's DEVEREUX.org, devereaux.org, and you can find the closest facility to you by going there. We've been talking about children, but you do offer programming for adults, children who do have intellectual and developmental disabilities. You want to talk briefly about all of those, and then let's get into the children who are at risk and are suffering from sexual abuse.
Okay, great, Laura. So starting with our autism and programs and our programs for kids and adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities, our services really span the continuum in that area. We consult with school programs where we actually go into the school setting to train educators on how to work effectively with these kids and young adults who need services, and we want to maintain them in the community, because being able to maintain people in their community and in their family so that they're successful is very important. And if you know anyone who has a child or adult with autism in their family, you know that that can really impact the family's ability to be social and to participate in activities outside of the home. Our job is to teach these kids and adults how to be successful in school, but also how to be successful in their home environment, and to train the parents on the modalities that we use that we think will be successful for them at home. So we do consultation in school. We run school programs. We have day schools where we provide services for kids and adults who are living at home, who come to our campus to receive specialized education services. We do vocational training for this population. And we have group home or residential services where we have residents who may remain with us throughout their lifespan. And the focus there really is on quality of life. Mm-hmm. So it's important for us that even if you have autism or a developmental disability, that you have access to the same resources as any other member of our community. So for us, being able to work with these residents to enhance their skill set so they can be successful in the community is extremely important. One of the other programs I want to highlight that I'm really proud of is we have a therapeutic home services for adults with severe mental illness in our Arizona Center, which we're so excited about. We're looking at expanding that in our Pennsylvania tri-state area. So, and that is a program for really adults who would be homeless. These are the people with severe mental illness who would be homeless because their families just aren't able to provide for their needs. And what we do is we train families to work with these adults so that they have a home, so that they have a place where they can call home that is very home-like. And that program has been extremely successful and we think is a model for other states in providing care for that population.
Devereaux tends to develop programming and, again, evidence-based and all of that. I'm learning that term. And then rolling them through the others. So you are a leader in all of these categories.
Right. And in 2016, we rebranded ourselves as Devereaux Advanced Behavioral Health because we recognize that it's not enough to provide what everyone else is providing. We really have to look at what separates us from the community. And part of that is we're able to develop these intensive and specialized resources in one program or one state and spread them out through other states and be able to maintain the integrity of the program and maintain fidelity and oversight through our national offices. But it's really great because even though we have this corporate oversight, it feels really local with the work that we do and working with each center to look at what do you need in your state? What's going to be most effective for your population?
Are there big differences between an Arizona and a Philadelphia region?
There are differences in terms of the services that Devereaux provides, and those services are developed based on the state's needs. So some states have a need for intensive services for kids within a psychiatric setting. Some states have intensive services for adults with autism and IDD. And what we do is we look at the landscape and we scan that constantly so that if there there's an unmet need within a state and we have an evidence-based program that's been proven to be effective, then we are willing to go in any state to provide that service where we think that might be helpful to the community. Mm-hmm. Because it really is about taking care of the needs of the community.
Now, let's get into another community. Talk, like as we did before the show began, commercial sexual exploitation of children. And what is the situation? And just go. I'm just going to step
all
back
right.
and tell me about this.
Well, unfortunately, Laura, I've been working in the area of treating kids who have been commercially sexually exploited for the last 18 years. And I started in Georgia. And at that time, we had no idea that this was a national problem within the United States. When I started in the field, I thought that this was something that occurred in third world countries. And now I recognize that kids are sexually exploited within every state within the United States. And it's not an inner city urban problem. Over 300 kids are domestically sex trafficked within the United States. And the average age is 13, which means that we treated kids as young as 7. And most of our services treat kids up to age 18. But we know that the highest risk factors for these populations are a history of sexual abuse. Over 90% of these kids have been sexually abused prior to them being sexually exploited. And then a history of runaway. Kids who run away from home are extremely at risk of being sexually exploited. And the research has shown that within 48 hours of running away from home, a child is likely to be approached by someone to be sexually exploited. The sad thing is that most people think, you know, about sexual exploitation happening from someone who's a pimp, who's recruiting these kids. But we now have kids that are recruiting kids. Kids who have been sexually exploited, who are working for the exploiter and on the street and on the internet and looking for these kids. Sexual exploitation has become a very high-tech, internet-based crime where the majority of victims now are kids who are on the internet meeting someone in a chat room, having a conversation, and then who may meet up with someone innocently enough, not thinking that their life will be changed as a result of that experience.
How do these children and these youths get to Devereaux or get into the mental health system?
Mm-hmm.
What's
so kids enter services at Devereaux for commercial sexual exploit. Kids enter services at Devereaux for commercial sexual exploitation in a variety of ways. A lot of our referrals come from child welfare or from the juvenile justice system. So these may be kids who are living at home, who they're found through an FBI sting or through a State Bureau of Investigation sting, because a lot of the stings are done online, although a lot are done in person now. And then after they're arrested, we know that there was a time when these kids were treated as criminals and they were locked up and charged with prostitution. We now have changed that in the majority of our states where kids cannot be charged for prostitution. As a minor, if you can't consent to sex, you can't be charged with prostitution. So when these kids are recovered, then they're referred for services, and Devereaux has become known as a national provider in this area. So they come also through National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, through Shared Hope International, so national organization where these kids are being identified and the need for services have been identified.
What is the outcome or what is the hope for a child that's rescued or is discovered?
Yeah, the hope is that we can go back and really deal with the early childhood traumas. As I said, most children in this population have suffered from early childhood sexual abuse. And so we have to deal not only with the sexual exploitation that they've suffered while on the streets, but also go back and treat the early childhood traumas that made them susceptible to this form of exploitation. And the outcome, what we hope, is to restore hope, to restore a sense of childhood to these young children, because social and emotional development stops at the age that the abuse starts. So even though we may rescue a victim at 15, I may be working with a 7-year-old child emotionally and developmentally, and that's where we start. And our goal is to help them grow up to their chronological age and have the skills to be able to function in the community without reacting to those forms of trauma that they have been that they have developed, you know, over years.
No sense of trust, I would guess. No connections to other people on any other kind of level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, these kids often, they've been objectified, so they see their bodies as objects. So teaching them the value of their body as a sacred place is important. They don't trust adults. They may have been sexually abused by someone in their family. And then they've developed these relationships with these adult men mainly who have brainwashed them. It really is very much like the Stockholm Syndrome, where they have been brainwashed to believe that their captors love them and that's the only way for them to seek love. And so we really have to work through those, what we call complex trauma bonds, to teach them how do you bond to someone based on safety factors rather than low self-esteem, looking to get your needs met immediately and believing, you know, your captor, that this is what you need to do in order to be loved.
So I'm going to guess then that you are obviously working with peers, and that includes police and prosecutors and then doctors and educators and anyone who's coming across kids, not just in this situation, but again, kids that are obviously showing some kind of trauma that, that needs intervention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so training others is a great responsibility for us at DEVRO. We do work with educators on learning how to recognize kids who may be suffering from mental health symptoms so that they are aware of when intervention may be necessary. We work with police officers on understanding mental health and to develop appropriate responses when they're intervening in the community with kids and adults with mental health problems. We train other foster care agencies on how do you provide specialized approaches to this population. And we work with law enforcement and others in the community, especially around the areas of commercial sexual exploitation. So we do a lot of work with training people in the airline industry because they're trafficked through airports, the trucking industry because that's another common area where kids are trafficked, and the hotel industry.
Are there resources for teachers? Are there resources for parents, for, you know, the layperson who might be interested or someone who's looking to maybe expand their services and all of that?
Right. If you go to devro.org, you will have access to all of our programs provided throughout our state. But also, we have a national marketing division who can connect you with other resources. If DEVRO doesn't have the right resource for you, we do have collaborations with people and other organizations throughout the country. Our goal is to make sure that every person gets what they need. We hope to be able to provide that at DEVRO, but if not, we're willing and very able to connect you with those resources in your community or in other areas because we want people to be successful. We want to fight the stigma of mental health. We want to empower people to reach out for help.
And battling that stigma is a major problem, isn't it? It still is.
It still is, unfortunately. Even in this day and age, people have multiple stigmas that they're fighting. And so reaching out for mental health services is very difficult. And part of that, we've started providing integrated care services at DEVRO, recognizing that people are more willing to go to their medical provider with mental health symptoms than to a psychiatric provider. So if we have to meet people where they are, then we have to be in the medical offices as well. We have to have that integrated whole body health model.
One of your peers out there once said that, well, yep, you can break your arm and go to the doctor and you have no problem taking off for that afternoon. But if you're having depression, you would never say, I am going to a mental health therapist and I need the afternoon.
Right. And it's so important that we take care of our mental health in the same way that we would take care of any medical issue, because a lot of these disease processes are very treatable. And early intervention, kind of like if you get the flu and you intervene very early, you can take something to help abort it. The same thing with a lot of our mental health issues. If you wait until it's full blown, it may be more difficult to treat. So we really encourage people to overcome that stigma, to reach out for help. And there are resources available in different settings, and our goal is to help you find what works for you or for your family member.
And, of course, for more information, everything that we have talked about today, from the screening that that they offer for educators to information about what's available in your state, the place to go, devereux.org. That's Devereux, D-E-V-E-R-E-U-X, devereux.org. And my guest today has been Dr. Yolanda Graham. She is the DEVRO Advanced Behavioral Health Senior Vice President and Chief Clinical and Chief Medical Officer here in Philadelphia, right?
Correct.
the is this the region?
Yes, this is our national headquarters in Villanova.
And Villanova there. And again, for more information, devereaux.org. And you can find your local facility by going there, devereaux.org. Thank you for coming in today.
Thank you, Laura. It's been a pleasure.
I've learned a lot. Thank you very much. You're always welcome to come back. Again, devereaux.org. And now here's where I say, I'm Laura Lewis. We'll be right back to our Delaware.